Okay. Lesson three. We have been, in the first lesson, we talked about the compassion that Jesus had for the lost. In the last lesson, we've been talking about the fact of Jesus' willingness to die for our sins, to die so that we could be saved. Of course, part of this whole thing is for us looking at that and saying, okay, what about me? Do I have those same kinds of feelings and desires and compassion and willingness and so forth? Because people are still lost today, and they need to be saved. So this lesson is really going to challenge us and focus on the mission of the church itself, which is us, okay, to seek and to save the lost, to share the gospel with other people, right? So this is going to be really looking at the first five chapters of the book of Acts. There's a lot of things that are going on in the early days and weeks and months of the church. Some of those things were things that really caused a lot of growth, just rapid growth that took place and people being saved. There was a lot of opposition to the gospel, right? We're going to be looking at how did the disciples handle all of these things? The message itself, how did they handle that? And how did they handle the opposition? How did they handle the early days and weeks and months of the church in terms of it growing the way that it did? As you see on the front of the page there, the aim is to challenge us to fill our city with the gospel, to begin to take those simple, practical steps that help accomplish our task. And again, this goes in conjunction with what we've been studying in our worship time of Sunday morning, Hear Am I, Send Me. It's the task of going out into our Jerusalem and our Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth to share the gospel with people. That is our job. Jesus commissioned his disciples, thus us, okay, to go into all the world and to make disciples. Okay? That is our job. That's our responsibility. Primary, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? So what we've been doing, really for all of last year, really focusing with our CERT program and our training and all the things we were doing surrounding that, not only with the bags in terms of taking care of people's personal needs that they have, but also the spiritual aspect is training us how to really take care of the emergency situations with people, that people are lost. And do we recognize that that's an important, serious thing? When we see somebody, as we've talked about, you come across somebody that's out on the street somewhere that's having a heart attack, that's an emergency. We respond to that, okay? But whether that person lives or dies, okay, that's a physical temporary status. What we're talking about is an eternal status here. So I suggest that it's even more of an emergency. Okay, and that's what we've been focusing on. And then as we're doing the Here Am I, Send Me, and this study here, challenge us to share the gospel message with those who are lost, to at least give people a chance. Okay? In a lot of ways, it's like that person, you know, Chris, Brian, you guys know how many times you go, you respond to a situation. Chrissy, you're, in the, are you in an emergency room now or were? Okay. But how many times do you guys respond to an emergency situation and somebody's having a heart attack or a stroke or whatever, and they don't make it? Okay? Physically, they don't make it. That's life. Okay? In this situation, spiritually, there are going to be people that aren't going to make it. We need to try the best to make sure that the reason they don't make it is not because we didn't respond. Okay? That the reason they don't make it is because of the choices that they've made in their life, and they decide not to accept the help, not because we chose not to respond to their emergency need. And I'm hoping that through all of this that I can impress upon all of us that kind of a heart, that kind of an attitude, and that kind of compassion for those who are dying spiritually. You have to understand, again, you're not going to save everybody. Okay? I have no idea how many people I have sat down and studied the Bible with. Right? I have no idea how many people have responded in a positive way and have been saved. I don't keep account of that. But I do know there's a lot of people that have said, nope, not interested. Okay? But we can't let that discourage us. We can't let that stop us. We need to keep doing what we can to share the gospel with people. Make sure they at least have been given the opportunity to be saved. Right? So that's what this is all about. Into all the world that began in Jerusalem and moved from there to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? So let's talk about, on the inside page, let's talk about the explain it and express it, the mission. All right? Acts chapter 1. And verse 8. Now, those who are in my Acts class on Tuesday nights, okay, what's your memory verse then? You remember, Nancy? You don't remember. Okay, they remembered it long enough to write it down for the test.
That's it.
All right. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. What does Jesus say to the disciples? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Okay? That is the task. The statement here, the mission was certain. Is there any ambiguity about that? Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Any question as to what they were supposed to be doing? Okay. Notice that the statement here under this is that was their mission. And they refused to allow any lesser need or human pressure to distract them from their purpose. Question. What kinds of things that fall maybe into that category do we allow to distract us from that purpose? See, he talks about here lesser need or human pressure. Kind of lesser needs or human pressure do we so often allow to distract us from the mission? Okay, everyday life. We're going to talk about some of that in our worship lesson this morning. We're busy people, aren't we? Okay. What else? Right.
Our needs.
Okay.
Our needs are where we distract us from our mission.
Okay.
Okay.
So would that fall under the category of pressure?
Yeah.
Human pressure? Okay. That sometimes we give in to that, you know, that we feel the pressure that, you know, somebody doesn't want to hear or whatever. What other kinds of pressure specifically do we run into? Yeah, that's become more and more of a problem over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years or so. Okay, what else? Anne, you had?
I think sometimes people just feel inadequate.
Okay.
They just don't have the words. They feel like they don't have
the words. Okay. All right, what's the answer to that? What?
Study.
Okay, study, but what else? There's two parts of that. Yeah, I mean, it's relying on the Holy Spirit, not on ourselves. And realizing that, you know, think about it this way. If I ask you to do a specific task, okay, and it's a task that I really want to have done, right? Do you think that does it serve my purpose well to put obstacles in your way to accomplish that task, or to do everything I can to help you to accomplish that task? Which one do you think is better? Yeah, I mean, because I want the task done, right? And so I want you to do it, so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you succeed. And we understand that about how we would do things, but don't we think that God does the same thing? I mean, isn't this something that God wants done? He wants us to be reaching out to try to save souls. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how bad he wants it, right? So if that's what he wants us to do, then shouldn't we be thinking along the line of that if I'm doing what God has called me to do, then he's going to give me what I need to help me to do that job. So, you know, now he has given us his word. So, as I think Chris over here said a moment ago, what do we need to do with it? We got to study it, okay? Just by going out and having a Bible is not going to help us a whole lot there. But even when we study, okay, we know things that it says, we still need to have God's Spirit to guide us, okay? Because I promise you, you can't study this thing enough to know all the answers. Okay? It's not possible.
Sometimes it seems like we think we need every answer on the top of our head.
Yeah.
When you could say, that's an in-depth question, we're going to need a little time to study it. Can we set up a time? And that gives you time to prepare. Or to email Russ and say, hey,
I've had people do that. Some of y'all have called me and said, hey, I was talking to somebody about so-and-so, and I didn't know how to answer them. And this is what I said. Is that right? Or do I, you know, and so we haven't talked about it. But it's realizing that if God gave you that task to do, he's going to help you to do that task. Okay? Now, understand something here. And I've mentioned this. We were talking about it a little while ago, and I've mentioned it many times before. Don't think of it in terms of being successful if I get the person saved. Okay? That's not your job. Okay? Your job is to share the gospel with people. Okay? And then it's their job and their choice as to whether they're going to obey it or not. Your job is not to make people get saved. Okay, does everybody understand what I'm saying there? All right, so you can't look at it in terms of that, well, I've tried and they didn't want to, so I'm a failure. I can't do this because I've tried it and it didn't work. No, if you tried it, you shared the gospel with somebody, you did what God told you to do. Okay? Now, if they didn't obey the gospel, they didn't do what God told them to do, okay? And you got to be able to separate those two things. Everybody understand that? Because that's part of the task of sharing the gospel. It's not your responsibility to make people or try to force people to obey the gospel. Jesus never did that. He never forced his will on anyone. And he doesn't want us to do that either. But he does want us to share it. But don't allow yourself to judge your success or failure based on whether or not somebody obeys the gospel that you taught.
Said many times, this is not a 5-minute process.
Right.
You should be immediately suspect if somebody decides to become a Christian after 5 minutes of talking.
Oh yeah, you know, because do they really understand what they're, you know, what's going on? You, and that's why this whole thing we've been discussing over the last year and so has been, it's investing ourselves in people's lives. And that's why, again, the focus is, you know, my Jerusalem, my Judea, people that I know, people whose lives I'm already in connection with and invested with. Okay? A couple of hands back here. Brian and Chuck. And what's the success rate? It's only 25%, okay, according to the parable. It's only 25%, okay? And so, again, don't be discouraged if you got 75% of the people you're trying to share the gospel with aren't obeying. Never know where that's going to lead, you know, sometimes maybe years down the road. You just don't know. Jeff, you had your hand up a moment ago.
Yeah, I mean, one of the questions is not to offend.
Okay.
I mean, tend to get offended nowadays.
Yeah, real easily.
About anything. Yeah. You know, maybe that's technology and there's space you just don't invade it. But I think in the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip went up to him, you know, whether you're successful or not, if you get even a four, is that success? If someone will even give you the time, that is success. You're getting into the space. You got there. You know, and you share it with them. You don't want to offend them.
Yeah.
And then our opportunity comes. And why did you approach that person? Why did you open your mouth? The Spirit guided you to that chariot, and that's
yeah.
So he's going to give to you. You'll never know enough or all. You'll never know enough before you're all. And it's him the whole way.
And you know, you have to be willing to take the risk. And I think that when it comes to evangelism methods, let's talk about this for just a moment. You know, there's the what is basically referred to as the cold you know, contact. In other words, you go out door knocking and knock on somebody's door and say, hey, does Jesus live in your house? You know, or some goofy question like that, you know, and they slam the door in your face and they get off my property before I shoot you. You know, that the downside of that is that, yeah, it happens. Believe me, it happens. You know, we don't like to do that because of the risk that, you know, this person may sick their dog on me or, you know, whatever else, you know, so we don't want to do that. And, you know, I am, when it comes to, you know, door knocking campaigns and so forth, I've participated in them, I've done it, but it's not my favorite way to do evangelism. The other model that is oftentimes referred to as friendship evangelism is basically what we've been focusing on. People in my Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, people that I already know. It's my family, my neighbors, my friends, my coworkers, you know, whoever. That I already have some kind of a contact, a relationship with. That's the main part of it. And I think that the risk there that we face and the, you know, the pressure oftentimes is, and Chuck, and kind of what you alluded to, is I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want my family to disown me. I don't want my coworkers to stop talking to me. Or we're afraid of losing some of those relationships, so we don't say anything. See? And of course, you know, part of that is that, you know, again, I need to try. If they don't want to hear it and they let me know I'm not interested, you know, then okay, fine. That's your choice. I did what I'm supposed to do. Let me move on. Does that mean I can't be friends with them anymore? Or, you know, I can't be part of... No, it just means they've made it clear they don't want... They're not interested. Their choice. Okay, let's just have a relationship that doesn't include that. You know where I stand. If you have any questions, come and see me. But I'm not going to keep pressuring you and so forth. But I got to get over being worried that somebody's going to stop talking to me or don't want to be my friend or my family's going to kick me out or whatever because I share the gospel.
Now, if you share the gospel and suddenly that puts down a wall between you, then I would have, if that happened to me, I'd have to ask myself, well, have I been hiding my Christianity up until now?
Yeah.
Because they know, they should know already.
They should know, yeah.
And I have friends that are like that, that I know that they know what my feeling is on things. I know what theirs is. We're still friends. I'm not going to cut that off because then I never have that influence.
Yeah.
But it should be such an integral part of you that people know that that is where you stand.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Is if you've had this relationship with them all this time and then suddenly you share with them and they say, oh, you're a Christian? I had no idea.
Then there's the problem.
The problem is
yeah.
with...
Why didn't they know?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But then when you're approaching them, and I struggle with this, when you're talking to them about their salvation, you know, it's okay if you being a Christian, just don't push in on me,
yeah.
You know? And, but here, as you were talking, I'm thinking, as Jesus was saying, do you love me more than them? Because you're loving, well, you're not really loving.
To do that. You know?
Sure it is.
Well, it's like sell all your possessions and come with me.
Right. Anyone who does not leave father, mother, brother, or sister for my sake is not what? It's not worthy of the kingdom. If we're not willing to lose all that stuff then, for Jesus' sake, then what do we really have? When I first became a Christian, my father just about disowned me, period. Because I left the Catholic Church. As far as he was concerned, that was, you're dead to me. that's the way you want it. He wasn't going to come to our wedding. He wasn't going to, you know, participate. He wasn't going to let any of my siblings come to the wedding or anything else. I said, your choice. Your choice. I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing because you don't like it. And that's sometimes that's all we have to do. Brian, you have your hand up.
Yes. Some people's nature is they don't want to hear what's wrong with
them. Yeah.
Even in the medical field, we're on patients that know they're in a dire state and they refuse care.
Yeah.
So you tell them, hey, this is your state.
Yeah.
Let me stay signed here and we will. And in Christianity, you can read the same book. It's some nature in people is they don't want to hear what's wrong with them. So you tell them, hoping that later on, as soon as you get worse, they go, well, there is something. Already warned them, told them all the things, and know what they're doing.
Right.
Sometimes you got to get inside, the patient refuses before we call it.
Yeah.
They sign that, move on to the next person. So then to inform them that things change, maybe they'll say, yeah.
We don't have any kind of form we have to have them sign if they refuse. You know. But you're right, exactly right. You know, all you can do is, and that's why I'm trying to emphasize to you in all of this, all we can do is what God has told us to do. Okay? And that's, you know, that goes back to the whole issue of the relationship with God. You know, why are we not robots? Because God wants us to choose to be in a relationship with Him. He doesn't want us to be forced into it. You see? So, you know, that's why Jesus, you never see, there's nowhere in here indicates Jesus ever forced anyone to accept Him. In fact, if anything, what did Jesus do? Yeah, I mean, he discouraged people from following Him, didn't he?
If you're here for the wrong reason.
You know, if you want to be my disciple, what do you got to do? Take up your cross daily and follow me. And we've talked about that before. Everybody back then knew what that meant. And so, you know, it wasn't where Jesus was going and, you know, kind of painting this nice rosy picture about what being a Christian is all about. And don't you really want to do this? We're going to go on cruises every other month and, you know, so on and so forth. No. If you're going to be my disciple, you got to die. And so, you know, when people hear that, it's like... No, I like life too much. I like the way I'm living too much, and I don't want to die to myself. And that's what people do today. You mean if I do this, I got to change my life? I go, yeah. No, thank you. Okay. Your choice. Okay, a couple of hands here.
I just think it's important that when we plant the seed, you know, and give that information, and even if the person rejects it, as Christians, we should always have a door open that they can
absolutely
return.
Absolutely.
Because if they go, you know, if you shut them out, you're not giving them an opportunity to think about it, or if they do, you know, down the road, like, well, maybe they did know something that I need to know or want to know or whatever. You have to be approachable and
absolutely
open to re-accept them. And you can't have an attitude, well, I asked you once,
right,
why are you coming back to me? You know,
I gave you the opportunity, that's gone, forget it. You only have one chance.
Well, it's like, you know, they say, oh, I told her I loved her once, I should have to tell her again.
Right, but if I change my mind, I'll let you know, right?
Yeah. But I think that's really important, because I've even had people tell me, well, I thought you wouldn't speak to me again, or, you know, or we wouldn't be able to still be friends, or whatever. And I said, just because I think different about things than you doesn't mean I still don't care about you as a person. You know?
I stopped telling people they had to pay a reinstatement fee to. Amen. I want to make sure, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, we present it laid out going, okay, what are you going to do here? And they need to make a decision before the clock stops ticking, you know. Ding dong, you know.
Unless you're one of those fiery gospel things we had in the South.
You know, yeah, my point is just simply that we need to make sure we understand what our role is, okay? And our role is to make the gospel available to people, right? Their role is to either accept or reject it, right? And there is no time frame on that. You know, again, who knows? They may come along 5 years later, something happens in their life that, you know, causes them to start thinking about things, and, you know, because of their relationship that they had with you, that they know, hey, this is a person I can come to, you know? But the main thing, you know, in this whole thing is talking about sometimes why do we, you know, what do we do to allow certain things to keep us from doing that? And then sometimes it's that pressure that we feel, whether they're going to stop talking to me or I'm going to leave them, lose my job. Well, hey, you know what? Where'd you get that job to begin with? God gave it to you. Do you think he can give you a better job than you had before? I know personally he's done that, okay? I lost 3 jobs as a preacher because I told people what they needed to hear, okay? Gave me the best job in the world that I have right now.
You know it.
Okay? Absolutely. So, you know, I'm not going to worry about whether or not, you know, I lose my job. Okay, fine. You answer to that to the Lord. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And look what he gave me. Gave me you guys. Jury's still out on that one. James. And you look for the opportunities. You know, we talk about our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. It's people that we know. But understand this. It's also people that God, for whatever his purpose is, brings into our life. And it may be momentarily. And that person has just come into your Jerusalem. Okay? And I think I might have been to Wednesday night class. I told about this. But, you know, back, I think it was a month, 2 months ago now. I don't, maybe even longer. I don't remember. But, you know, I had this fellow on a motorcycle ran in the back of my car one morning. You know, and it didn't do a whole lot of damage. I wiped all the damage off with Windex. That's how bad it was. Messed up his motorcycle. But I had the opportunity right there. Asked him if he went to church anymore. Gave him my business card. You know, we talked for just a moment. And I just told him, hey, anything you want, anytime you want to talk, whatever, any question, just call me. And left it at that. Haven't heard anything else from him. But I never know. He's got my car. See? Yeah. And so how do I know that, you know, something might be going on in his life that at some point that he might go, speaking of which, did we get those business cards made up? We have those, right? Where are they?
On my desk.
Okay, we'll keep getting them
on
here.
You want me to put them out on the screen?
Yeah, we printed up a bunch of business cards, church business cards, and place on there for you, for anybody. Get some, put them in your pocket, your wallet, whatever. Put your name, your phone number on it, and just have them with you. And that way, if you have an encounter like that with somebody, you can just give them the card. And it has your contact information on there. And again, you just never know what might happen. So you had a 5-minute conversation with that person. And a year down the road, they may need somebody to talk to. And so that's why we have those. So, yeah, Judy will put those out on the table out here and get some of those and and use it. Okay. But we have to be able to overcome that those pressures that we feel a lot of times to not say anything. And again, I think some of those pressures that we feel is that I'm going to fail. That's why I said we got to understand what failing means. Failing is not when I don't convince somebody to obey the gospel. Failing is not taking the gospel to people. Okay? And that's a choice that we make, whether to do it or not. Okay? Lori?
I just have trouble, like, talking to this friend of mine, I was talking to my neighbor. And we did a couple of Bible studies together. And she had a lot of, different ideas and things. But when I showed her exactly in the Bible, mm-hmm. what it was saying, still, well, I think, and I'd be like, I don't know what else to say.
Well, that part of that is just a practice and a technique of being able to, and it's getting to know people to where, how far can you go to challenge them? And so when I have people like that, I'll say, you know what I think or what you think doesn't really matter. What matters is what it says right here.
I need to carry it because I'll be around her sometimes and just listen to her. She'd say some messed up stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The more you talk to people about religion, the more you're going to find there's a lot of really strange ideas out there that people have, and a lot of them people don't even have a clue as to where they got them from.
Mm-hmm. It's the tradition.
Yeah. And so.
But the two big arguments that I hear a lot of times are. Churches is all about giving money,
right.
Because we know how that has permeated
mm-hmm.
that and the prosperity theology,
right.
Where
oh, yeah.
The more you give, the more you're going to get. And the other thing is, a lot of it is Catholic teachings. People hear things
mm-hmm.
and they think that because it's Catholicism that's
right.
Christianity. Why?
Right.
You know, of course the priest scandal and all that kind of stuff. And so that. When people throw that up, now it sounds like her friend is believing these things, whatever they are, and okay with it. But whenever I get that as an argument, well, the reason why I don't think Christianity is all that great is because of this, and I say, I don't either. Because the Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
That's the easy way. That's
right.
The easy one to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
It's where you have the people that actually have the strange beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, trust me, because I have in-laws that are Mormons, so,
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're going for.
There's a whole slew of weird stuff out
and,
there.
And you're
that
not,
people
and you're not
going
to sway something.
No, you're not.
What did you say about your mother?
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
I was born Catholic, I'll die Catholic.
My mother said the same thing about being Baptist.
Yeah. Just to kind of let you know what we're going to do, we have our lesson today for worship time, and then we have one more final lesson in that Here Am I Send Me series. And after that, I've got 3 lessons that I'm planning on doing after that Here Am I, that's going to be dealing with those. How do we focus on, get people to focus on the truth? Okay, and that's what we're going to be looking at in our worship time after next week. So hopefully I'll be able to share some things with folks that will help you to see, okay, there's a lot of truths out there, that people are believing, and how do we help people to see that there's really only one truth, and then how do we gently guide them into being able to see that there is one truth, and really it's a matter of me either accepting or rejecting that truth. And so we're going to explore that whole thing just as an idea of being able to share some ways. How do I help people to see through some of those things that they believe that really are not true? Okay? So I thought I'd just throw that out there since you brought that up, but that's where we're going to go. Okay, we are out of time. I want you to be thinking about more of that whole idea of the pressures that we sometimes feel. And I want to challenge you to think about personally, what are the things that you allow, those pressures or whatever, to keep you from sharing Jesus with people? because those are things you got to identify and those are things you got to overcome. All right? Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.